Welcome to the latest edition of the Journal Sentinel Bucks podcast. I'm Matt Velasquez, and I'm here with Charles Gardner, and we're going to talk about the preseason. We're in the thick of it now. We've got a game under our belts, and you know, we're ready to talk some more basketball. Right, Charles?
Yeah, absolutely, Matt. We're both down in Chicago on Monday, and indeed, there's basketball going on, and the Bucks and the Bulls tipped off the preseason, both the opener for both of them on Monday, and it was a pretty interesting game. So we'll maybe talk about some of the things we liked or didn't like from that game.
Yeah, so I think the best way to go about it is you and I, we each got to sit there and watch the game, and you know, it's the first preseason game, and you know, there's only so much you can really take out of it, you know, considering that situation. You know, obviously you go on Twitter and there's tons of people, you know, hot takes galore of what, right, what could happen. But, you know, in all seriousness, it is the first game. So let's, you know, each of us have considered our own three takeaways from the game. And I'll start with you, Charles. You can give me your first takeaway from the game, and then we'll go back and forth.
Well, I think the first takeaway, you know, Jason Kidd likes to, I think you wrote in the notes, he used the rookie in the starting lineup. He used Brogdon. Last year he used Rashad Vaughn. It's just his way of kind of introducing the rookies to the preseason in the NBA. But what it meant for the Bucks was some of their really good players were on the bench. And when they came in, they really made a good impression. Matthew Dellavedova, Greg Monroe, Michael Carter-Williams, they all played very well, really, throughout the game. And so I think that's a good takeaway. Now, some of those guys may be in the starting lineup, as you and I discussed during the game. Certainly Dellavedova is expected to start by the end of the month, and Monroe could as well. I mean, I think that's still up in the air. They may prefer to have Plumlee start and have Monroe come off the bench, but we'll see. I saw Zach Randolph today. The Memphis is talking that he will come off the bench. So that's kind of interesting, but it made me think of Greg. So, but as we all recall, the bench was so bad last year and really was big weakness for the Bucks, and however it's constituted, it should not be a weakness this year. I think it will be a strong point, and it needs to be for them to have some success. That would be my first takeaway.
Okay. And kind of riffing off that, I think one of my first takeaways was when I think about players who impressed me in that game, I think the one who stands out probably the most is Greg Monroe. I mean, he wasn't on the court for a ton of minutes, but when he was out there, you could tell he was out there. You know, he was diving for loose balls. He was, you know, running the court. He had that follow, you know, of Matthew Dellavedova when they ran the court together.
He had a follow dunk.
I mean, yeah. He made good decisions. He shot the ball at a very high percentage in the post, you know, and he wasn't a sieve defensively. You know, he was playing, you know, within the system, and he wasn't a major detraction on defense. And
he was diving on the floor, remember?
Right, on the
defensive end, yeah.
Yeah, in the first half, I mean, that ball kind of was squirting around. He was the player out of everyone on the court, you know, on both teams who made that extra effort to dive for it, to kick it out, you know, to get that extra possession, which I think it led to a three-pointer, but even if it didn't, you know, it's an extra possession. Actually, no, it led to MCW getting fouled. He got fouled going to the hoop. And so, but either way, I mean, that's a positive play, and I don't know if that's, you know, the Greg Monroe will always see. I don't know if that's Greg Monroe, you know, in a, you know, a contract year because he has that player option for next year, or if it's him trying to earn a starting spot. I don't know what any of that means, but I do know that if that Greg Monroe can show up, you know, 4 out of 5 games, not even every night, just 4 out of 5 games or 3 out of 5 games, he's a very valuable asset to the Bucks. And he can really, you know, add something positive, whether he's starting or coming off the bench, because no matter what those minutes are, if they're that kind of quality minutes, then that can only be good.
Yeah, no, I agree. He looked very impressive, and we know he lost weight during the off season, and he told us earlier that he had tweaked his diet. He has his same chef, but he changed his diet around a little bit, and he obviously is, looking fitter, and it seemed in the first game that he played that way. I agree. So I think that's only good for the Bucks, no matter if he's starting or coming off the bench.
All right, Charles. So, all right, we've each gone one to one in terms of our takes from the game. What's your second take from the game?
The other take, I asked Coach Kidd before the game what type of minutes he hoped to have for Jabari Parker and Giannis Antetokounmpo, and he said, "Hey, we really like to keep them about to the 20-minute mark." During the preseason, he said they're not going to play 38 minutes. You know, it's not going to be anything like that. And obviously they are very valuable commodities for the Bucks. So it's kind of a balancing act. You want them on the floor. You also don't want them on the floor too much. And it seemed like they did a real good job of, I think what it was 25 and 24 minutes, is what it ended up. So they went a little over the 20. And I think you may see that in some of these games, six preseason games. And, you know how Jason does, Matt. We've learned with him the last few years that he just will give a guy a night off as well. Here or there, he may say, okay. And I could see that even happening with Jabari or Giannis. He may just say, okay, this game, you're not playing. So he has done that with and we'll get to that with Jason Terry when we talk about your story about Jason Terry. But I think, on those two players, especially Jabari, was very aggressive. He had 9 rebounds, and he said he's made that a focus. He told us in the locker room afterwards that he knows he has to rebound better at that position. So it seems like that's a focus for him already. And Giannis was playing 12 points. He did have some foul trouble, but again, it's the first game of the preseason. He was running the floor as usual. It was interesting when I talked to Matthew Dellavedova yesterday on Tuesday. He said how he just still has to, it's going to take some time, but he'll learn where Jabari wants the ball or, when to get it to Giannis. And he said that's just going to take time. But he looked, maybe I'll make that my third one. I'll talk about him. But that was the second one.
All right. Well, for me, the second one is something I tweeted about during the game. It's the three-pointers. I mean, in the first half, the Bucks were 8 for 14, and they didn't finish that great, compared to that hot start. They were 10 for 25 for the game, so obviously they cooled down in the second half. But, at least in the – 10 three-pointers puts them in rare air in terms of the number that they made last season. I think they only had five games where they made 10 or more.
And they were averaging 5.4, wasn't it?
So. Which obviously was the lowest in the league, and somewhere around 8 was the average in the league last year, but it just goes to show. I mean, it wasn't just one guy. It wasn't just they were relying on their shooter. They had a bunch of guys who were doing it. Guys who came off the bench, who might not always come off the bench, like Dellavedova. He'll probably start, and so having him out there to space the court, with Giannis and Jabari, that's positive, And then you have Teletovic, who immediately comes in and scores a quick 10 points, and he's making threes, and he's doing exactly what they brought him to Milwaukee to do, and that's it's good for the Bucks to see. I'm sure they've seen that in practice, but it's good for them to put that on the court and say, hey, in a real game, when we're playing guys who aren't in training camp with us, guys who are in a different color jersey, that he's doing exactly what he's supposed to be doing. And Malcolm Brogdon, he chipped in too, and Jabari and Giannis, they weren't afraid to let out some threes even above the break.
Yeah, they each hit a three, so that was good. And and of course, funniest comment of the night was from Jason when in the post game when he said that he looked at the box score and saw 25 attempts. He said, "I thought that was a misprint." And I love that quote, you know, because, yeah, that wasn't happening too much last year.
Yeah.
He was joking about it, but he was saying, oh, I saw that. That had to be a misprint. But yeah,
they had,
I love that comment. But I think you're going to see this year that that might not be so abnormal. They're going to be in the maybe 23s range some games. So, you know, it's going to be real interesting to see. But you got Teletovic, Dellavedova. Those guys are not going to be afraid, you know, when they're open. Certainly Teletovic, that's his game. And I think Deli has also been told that, hey, when you get the ball there, you shoot it. And he's confident. He shot 41% from three last year. So yeah, those, in fact, what Deli say to us in the locker room when we were interviewing him post game, he said, well, that's why they brought us here. Okay, there you go. That's part of the reason he and Teletovic were brought in as free agents to give the Bucks some perimeter threats that other teams have to honor. And, you know, good. Let's just say it's one game. Good start.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I think there was one game last year where I think the Bucks might have gone, if memory serves, they went like 13 for 34 on threes or something like that. But I think that was the double overtime game against the Cavs. So it took them that many minutes to get that many attempts up. And they had a couple other games where they were in the 20s with attempts, but they never made more than 14. And so, you know, the number, you know, the percentage never worked out to what it really needed to be in order to be competitive in the NBA as it's currently constituted. So,
well, and another guy, Matt, I was just thinking then, not to interrupt, but Michael Beasley, he can shoot a 3-2.
He did.
He knocked down two of them, I believe. And so here, all of a sudden, you have some threes coming in off the bench. If you have Deli out there with the stars, he's going to be able to make some threes. All of a sudden, it's not forcing it. You know, it's in the flow of the offense. It's something that the Bucks and they really need it. We know, we all know that. We've written and harped about it for a long time. So,
they can't win if teams can pack in the paint and cut off driving lanes for Giannis and Jabari and options for Plumlee and Monroe. You just can't win that way. It's just not going to happen. So, anyways, let's move on to your last takeaway from the game before we move on to some other topics.
The last takeaway I was just going to say was Dellavedova just fitting in so quickly. I guess I thought, oh, he's going to take a little more time to adjust, or I don't know what I thought, but he just came in and, you know, I talked to Coach Kidd about him yesterday for the story I wrote in today's paper, and he said, no, he's a winner. You know, this is contagious. The way he plays, diving around, just, you know, getting down the floor. He's involved in it, in everything. And he's only 26 years old. So he's, you'd think he should be improving, all the way along. And of course, he has the experience of playing with Cleveland's NBA championship team. So I'm sure there'll be rough moments, but he certainly sparked the team when he came in with that group. Because I think he was a plus 17. That's not a bad start for his first game with the Bucks. So, I was really impressed with his play, and it'll be worth watching to see how he is used and how he fits in with Giannis and Jabari. But he's obviously, I asked him, I said, you know, any regrets, any pangs of wanting to go back to Cleveland? And basically said, no, this is my team now. That's over. That was a great chapter. He's obviously very proud of what he did there. But now he's moving on to this challenge. He knows this is a new challenge and a different one. You know, I tried to write about how the Bucks had scouted him and kind of been interested in him for a couple of years, and Coach Kidd and two of the owners, Jamie Dimon and Wes Edens, went down to watch Game 4 last year of the NBA Finals. The a game that Golden State won in Cleveland, but then, of course, the Cavs won the next three games. But
as Twitter will very quickly remind everyone.
That's right. That's right. So, you know, I just think there were some other guards out there in free agency, Matt, but I think the Bucks had their idea that Dele was a guy who could hit shots. He could also play make. He could also play defense. They felt he was the most well-rounded, and they, you know, they went after him pretty hard, and they landed him.
Yeah, and I could tell. I mean, I had a thought during Monday's game that, you know, there weren't a ton of people, because I tried to get the pulse of people when it was happening, when the Bucks signed Dele, you know, because there was a small but vocal group that was like, ah, this guy, I can't believe they got this guy, they should have just got Bayless, they're paying too much, da 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 da. You're not going to hear a lot from those people if the performances are like that. You know, he was running the point very well, making crisp passes, good decisions, you know, playing hard. You know, the Bucks as a team were playing full court defense and really, you know, kind of a high effort game in terms of what they were doing. And that kind of fits very well into what Dele does and the way that he plays the game. And so I don't think that, you know, there's going to be too many fans who are going to be too upset with him. I think it's quite possible he's the best guard on the team. I mean, not saying that Giannis isn't a guard. Giannis defies all positions. But if you're looking at traditional guards, he could very easily be the best guard on the team. And, you know, that there's nothing wrong with that. You know, at least in terms of if he continues to show, you know, what he did in Cleveland, that he can continue to do that with more minutes and more responsibility and against, you know, the same high quality of players that he played against in playoff series.
Yeah, you know, and he played well with MCW. I guess we should mention MCW also played very well. 10 rebounds or 11 rebounds? What was it? I think 11 points, 10 rebounds.
I think it was 10 points, 11 rebounds.
Or
10
points, 11 rebounds, wasn't it? Yeah, I was trying to remember. And I was struck just by they had a nice little chemistry going as well. So, you know, that'll be interesting to see. But obviously, one of their points over the summer was to have more playmakers on the floor, multiple playmakers as we've talked about, guys that can handle the ball. And that, you know, that's going to be interesting to follow as we go along.
Yeah, and so I guess we can go into my last takeaway from the game, and we talked about this a little bit after the game while we were, you know, driving through Chicago, but I just don't know how long this Rashad Vaughn and the starting lineup experiment's gonna last. I mean, I just don't. We've seen enough from him, and I'm not judging this based off of just this one preseason game, but just in terms of, you know, obviously last year he was a rookie and he was one of the youngest rookies in the league, and there's going to be a learning curve, and that's totally fine. And, you know, time in the D League, you know, regardless of what the stats say, like, it was probably well spent, you know, and so then he comes into summer league, and I know he had that hand issue, but he didn't play all that great. You know, I think he could have, you know, made more out of that time than he did. And then he comes in and Jason Kidd says, all right, well, Middleton's out, we're going to try Rashad first, which is fine. I think it's an opportunity to push him and to see what you can get out of him and to give him some confidence to say, hey, I'm going to start you and I'm going to, you know, I want you to succeed and I want you to reach that high goal and all these different things. But when I look at the Bucks in terms of the guys that they have, I don't see how that decision makes them, you know, the best version of themselves. I mean, maybe it makes the bench better and so it can even out at some point. But I think that there are other guys, and this kind of plays into the story I wrote for Thursday's paper, you know, about Jason Terry. But I just don't know that's the fit. You know, I can, you know, if you told me on even after Monday's game or, you know, any time between, if you told me right now, I said, hey, who's more likely to start you know, Malcolm Brogdon or Rashad Vaughn, that's a tough call.
That would be a tough call. Well, and you wrote for Thursday, and it's up online now, Matt, about Jason Terry, and certainly a lot of people feel he could fill that two-guard role, at least in part, whether it's coming off the bench or starting. And, again, Jason Kidd, that is, knows Jason Terry, former teammate in Dallas, and he's not going to overwork him in the preseason, said he might not even play him a Saturday night in Madison when the Bucks play Dallas. But he obviously will have a key role to play. I liked what you wrote in the story, how he was talking to all the guards and some of the guards, Michael Carter Williams, going up to him asking him questions. And this is something the Bucks didn't have last year. But I think he might have to play more than we anticipated given the Middleton injury. And I liked in your story that you wrote that he has been durable and he has played a lot of minutes, even with Houston in these last 2 years. And, if you go to Basketball Reference, you can see those numbers and those are pretty good numbers that he played, with the Rockets coming off the bench, and his minutes in the playoffs, you pointed out, were even, bigger.
Yeah. So I mean, he's been,
I thought that was interesting. I thought that was interesting. So, I think he's going to be a part of that picture. I just don't see Rashad Vaughn starting in the starting lineup. I don't see it.
At least not on a consistent basis.
No. And you know, fortunately for him, and a good part of that story Monday was that the only shot he hit was the game-winning shot. Took it in rhythm, didn't hesitate, knocked down the three from Michael Carter Williams after most of the rotation players, I guess you would say, had left the game. You know, Michael Carter Williams was still in there kind of making some big plays to help the Bucks hold on. And of course, nobody cares about the scores in the preseason, but I do think it gives a younger team a little confidence just that they play pretty well. Obviously, Dwayne Wade only played, 12 minutes, played, the first half, didn't play again in the second half. Jimmy Butler, played limited minutes as well as, for the Bulls. So, but, you know, when you looked at the benches, the Bucks bench was looking, played better than some of the Bulls reserves. And, Casey Johnson pointed that out in the Tribune that most of the Bulls reserves were unimpressive. So,
yeah.
That's interesting. That's a concern on their end. And certainly we know about that with the Bucks last season. But going back to your last takeaway, I just feel it may be, Rashad can come off the bench, contribute, but he's going to have to really get his confidence and hit some shots, and then I think he'll obviously he can be part of this 3-point. I mean, that's what he was drafted for, to be a guy who can make some threes and stretch the defense. So he really needs to be able to do that on a more consistent basis. I know he's only 20 years old, so this sometimes takes some time, but, that's what they need to see out of him.
Right. He needs to be ready to shoot at virtually all times. And if he gets the ball in rhythm in a spot where he can shoot, he just needs to do it. And there were times on Monday, there have been times in summer league and other places where he hasn't done that, where he's pump faked or he's hesitated or he's thought about it or, whatever he's done, and it hasn't led to the results that you would expect, that you would want. And so, that's kind of my thought on Rashad Vaughn. But, going back to you mentioned my story about Jason Terry. I mean, I asked around. I only, used the quotes from MCW in the story, but I talked to a couple guys in the locker room and it was generally unanimous among the couple, guys that I talked to, just that they like having him around and that, he's got this gravitational pull to him, that like, guys just want to talk to him. They know, then they recognize that he's been around the league for a long time, that he's had all these experiences, that he's won championships, that, you know, that he's like been to the places they want to be, and they just, you know, they gravitate to him. And if they don't, you know, they're going to hear him anyway, because, you know, he, as we have very quickly become accustomed to, you know, he's more than willing to share his thoughts and feelings and opinions, and he'll talk, and he's very engaging and personable, and you know, he'll talk about it, you know, and he'll talk about things. And I know that, you know, Matthew Dellavedova, you know, I asked him about, you know, hey, if he has he ever like pulled you aside or talked to you about anything, and he kind of, you know, balked at that, but he said it's just continuous, you know throughout training camp and on practices. It's just what he sees on the floor and how he sees it so well, and how he's so good at communicating that to everyone. Like, it's not that he doesn't pull him aside or doesn't give him advice or anything like that, but like, he couldn't think of a specific time, because just the knowledge that he brings and the veteran presence is just continuous. It's just who he is. It's just what he's always doing. And yeah, so
he's another coach. I mean, the interesting comment he made when the Bucks signed him was, he said, you know, I always thought I'd get back with Jason either as a player or, you know, as a coach. Yeah. He thought maybe if his career was up, he would get back with Jason on the coaching staff. So he's really another coach. And of course, it, when you're out there playing, that carries even a greater weight.
Yeah, and MCW, I didn't use this quote, but he said he's already like very quickly become a mentor to him. You know, it's been a quick, you know, connection that they've made, and you know, that can only benefit, you know, both those guys and the team. And you know, Jason Terry and Jason Kidd, you know, they've talked about how they had a good relationship in Dallas, and they played there for like 5 years. You know, and so you know, it wasn't like they were just, you know, flash in the pan teammates. They were teammates for a substantial period of time, and so they got to know each other. And Jason Terry, you know, he said that the conversations they have now are just the same as the conversations they had then. And so it's good to be able to pick that up and have that type of synergy, you know, when you can bring in a free agent like that who can just mesh so well because there's already that relationship established.
Yeah, and a veteran player that the young players can learn from. And we talked a lot last year that they're just, that wasn't in the locker room. So now you have that. Teletovich, too, can help with that. So there are some veteran voices, and I think that's always important to have that kind of mix. You got some guys in the middle now, like Monroe, and you know, you got some guys, Giannis, you know, guys now that are 4 or 5 years in. So it's starting to be a little better mix, in terms of experience, and, you know, not everybody is a rookie or a second or third year player. And that often leads to struggles in the NBA, as we know.
So speaking of, you know, Jason Terry and the veteran presence, let's go to the other end of the spectrum for our last topic before we get out of here.
Okay.
Let's talk about Thon Maker, because, you know, he obviously didn't play on Monday. Maybe he'll play on Saturday. You were there for practice on Tuesday. You know, what kind of sense did you get about the possibility of Thon playing, and what do you think we're going to see from him when he does play?
Yes, well, he took part in some portions of practice, but he said they're still being careful. I think they're limiting his contact. They don't want him to re-injure the right wrist. That's what he sprained his right wrist the first day in Madison last week in the opening practice. And the MRI was negative, but, you know, they want to make sure he's getting better. So it'll be, we'll see if he plays Saturday or not. He actually joked that he was high-fiving his teammates. He was so excited about the game that he almost had to ice his wrist again. You don't want to get hurt high-fiving your teammates on the bench. So, but again, I think everything's so new for him. It's a lot of fun for him. He was describing just the entire day that he had in Chicago. He said, I watched film. I came to the shoot around. He said, then we watched film. He said, then, you know, came out with the first group for, for the pregame warm-up at the United Center. So it's all new to him, and he's just relishing every minute and learning from all this. And, of course, it'll be even better when he can actually get on the court and get some time. And, fortunately for him, there are weeks left in the preseason, and he still should get a chance. And I think the Bucks are just wanting to make sure that he's ready when he comes back to the court. But he's been an eager learner. He says how he's been watching the film with all the assistants, and I think it's just such a new world for him. As you can imagine, coming from prep school in Canada to the NBA, that's one big leap. And so he's just trying to soak it all in right now, and soon probably be back on the practice court.
Yeah, he told me after Monday's game, he's feeling good. He was able to do everything except for go full contact, and he's really hoping that he'd be able to come back on Saturday. What kind of sense do you get that maybe he's medically cleared, but do you get the sense that the Bucks might say, let's just give it a little more time, even if you're fully medically cleared, we don't want to rush anything. Do you think that might happen?
They're not going to rush him. So, yeah, and I don't know. The trainers will tell him, hey, you can do this much, or you can take part, and he can take part in some of the drills that are not as much full contact, right? And be doing more things. When in Madison, he was dribbling the ball only with his left hand, and he's certainly now, he doesn't have that big pack on his right wrist, and when you see him, so I'm sure he's making progress, and it's just a matter of when they want him to go full go. But that's a tough setback, really, in the very first practice for that to happen. And he told me in Madison last week that he kind of wasn't so much adrenaline. He stayed in the practice, and even after he was injured trying to dunk over Miles Plumlee, and Jason Kidd joked that he ran into Miles, and he ran into the rim. The rim can be hard on your wrist sometimes, and he went to the floor. So, but he said he didn't really feel it till after the practice, and then all of a sudden he had a lot of throbbing, he had some pain, he was like, what's all this? And that's when, they made sure that they had the MRI and all that type of thing. But yeah, we'll keep following that, see if he's ready when we're at practice Friday. We'll see what his status is for Saturday, and certainly everybody wants to see him out there and he's such an intriguing guy, number 10 overall pick, and he has a lot of upside. I think this year you don't expect that he's going to play that much, and Coach Kidd had said there's really no pressure on him to do so. They just want to see what he can do. You kind of have to go back and remember Giannis as a rookie, about that same age. And for Giannis, he was fortunate. He played on that league worst team. But in the end, that was kind of a break for Giannis, because he, as his agent told us when Giannis got the contract extension a few weeks ago, he said that was such a blessing for him almost, because he did play more. And he played a lot of minutes because they just said, well, heck, we have had all these injuries, we're not having a good season. And so Giannis got a chance. That may not be the same case for Thon this year.
No, and we kind of got accustomed to, at least over the past couple of years that I've been around, that you would see, rookies getting minutes and getting opportunities. And I know that Jason Kidd, likes to let everybody play and get chances, in certain spurts, but
yes,
we're not going to see it if he's not ready, and if there's not a spot for him, he's not going to get that much time. Like, it's just not going to happen. I wouldn't be surprised to see him spend, a decent, maybe not significant, but a decent portion of the year in the D League. Because
it'll be interesting to see. Their philosophy is always to keep the guy with the team, at least at the beginning. And then maybe later in the season, if that's necessary, they might do that. But they have, with Monroe, Henson, and Plumlee, they've got a good big man rotation there already.
Yeah, exactly. And they have a lot of guys. They have a lot of established players. You know, I don't know exactly where he'd fit into the rotation. And maybe that remains to be seen. Maybe he starts playing and, you know, becomes an indispensable part of the rotation. But for right now, I just don't see exactly how the perfect fit would be.
They'll take it slowly.
Yeah, and it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if he had a, you know, one, two, three different, you know, couple game stints in the D League just to, you know, get that playing time and get that seasoning and experience, and, you know, we'll kind of see how it goes. But for right now, I wouldn't be surprised if he played Saturday, and I wouldn't be surprised if they held him out. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know if he'll be healthy or not, but there's nothing that would surprise me with how they can handle this situation.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, it's no hurry. There's just no hurry, and, he'll benefit from the practices. He'll benefit, you know, you sure hope that he will be able to get in some preseason games. Even if he doesn't play Saturday, Matt, they've got four more games, and they don't play again till next Wednesday in Evansville, Indiana against the Pacers after the game Saturday. So, you know, there might be a chance there, or then, the last three preseason games. So there'll still be some chances for him to get out there.
Yeah. So, next thing on the docket is that Saturday game at the Kohl Center. And so we'll definitely talk about that next week when we get on the podcast. Maybe depending on how things go, maybe we'll wait until after the Pacers game so we can talk about two games on the podcast next week.
I was going to say, maybe after the game down in Indiana. That would be good.
Yeah, then we'll have a lot to talk about. So thank you, everybody, for following along with this week's edition of the Journal Sentinel Bucks podcast. As always, you can get the latest podcast by going to jsonline.com/bucks. You can also subscribe via iTunes or Stitcher, and that way you can get the latest the latest podcast as soon as possible, right when it posts. So thanks again for listening. We will talk to you all again next week.